Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Chet. We left off on the middle of Yud Zayin Amud Bet at Amaha Ivriya. We are smack in the middle of the page, Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Amaha Ivriya, Inao Ovedet Lo Et Aben Velo Et Abat. 17b. The Amaha Ivriya, when the master dies, she doesn't go to serve nor the son nor the daughter, no inheritors. So the Gemara says, Minani Mile, from where do we know this? Amar Rabbi Peda, the Amar Kala Pasuk says, even do it for your ama. What is it talking about? The pasuk is talking about a nirtza, someone who says, "I want to stay with my master," and they do the process of poking a hole in his ear. So hikisha katuv le nirtza. It makes a connection between her and the nirtza. Ma nirtza ino ved lo et aben ve lo et abat. Af ama ha ivriya ina ved lo et aben ve lo et abat. Just like the nirtza, he would not go and serve the son or the daughter. So to the ama ivriya. Hold on. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. I thought it was coming to teach us for the following baraita. In order to give her a gift, the gift of severance, the gift of leaving whenever she leaves, I thought that's what it's coming to add her in. Is it coming to tell her she's getting a gift, or it's coming to say that she doesn't get ritzia? So the Gemara says, "Keshu omer v'im amor yomar ha'eved v'lo ama yivriya hare retziya amor." Hold on. So that pasuk is talking about retziya. Therefore, we already know she doesn't get the poking into the hole. Ha mani mekayem v'af lama dechat ha'seken. So what is that pasuk coming to tell us? Lehenek, to give her a gift as she's leaving slavery. Im ken, if that's the case, nichtov kra la'amatecha ken. It would have just said la'amatecha ken. Why does it say my ta'ase? It says la'amatecha for your ama ta'ase ken. Do that. So when it says Shema Minatarte, it's coming to teach both dinim, and that's how we would learn both of them out of this one word, out of this one pasuk. We said somebody who says he wants to stay, he gets the hole in his ear, or the person who is sold to a goy, he does not serve after him. If let's say the master dies, he doesn't serve nor the son nor the daughter. So the Gemara says, how do we know? Nirtza, dichtiv v'ratza Adonav itaznov amartzea v'avado le'olam. You'll serve him forever. Him, ve'lo et aben ve'lo et abad, and not his son or daughter. Nimkai lo ve'kachomim minayin. What about someone sold to a goy? Amar chizkiya, amar kra, the pasuk says, ve'chishav yum koneu. He thought with the owner, with the purchaser. So it says the purchaser, ve'lo yum yorshe koneu, but not with the inheritors of the purchaser. Meaning, if he goes to serve the purchaser, he's going to serve a person who's purchasing him, like a goy, but he's not going to be serving his inheritors, like his son or daughter. According to the Torah, a non-Jew inherits his father. It says with his purchaser, and not with the inheritors of his purchaser, the inheritors of the goy. What does that sound like? There are inheritors to a goy, according to the Torah. He does have inheritors. Okay. A non-Jew to an oved kochavim, to a goy, is an inheritor not from Torah law, but from rabbinic law. So Ditnan, how do we know? As the Mishnah says, Ger ve'evik chavim, she'arshu et aviyem ve'evik chavim. If you have a ger, a convert, and a non-Jew, that inherit their father who was a non-Jew. Ger yachol lomar le'evik chavim, the ger can say to his goyish brother, Tol ata avodah zara v'ani ma'ot. You take the avodah zara, and I'll take the money. Tol ata yayinesech v'ani perod. You take the yayinesech. Yayinesech is the wine that the non-Jew did avodah zara with. And I'll take the fruits. But once Mishubau le Rishut HaGer, once it came to the jurisdiction of the convert, if it came into his possession, Asur, therefore he's not allowed to make such a split. Ve'isa kadadach deoraita, if you would have thought that this is deoraita, his inheritance from a goy, ki lo bau le Rishut, not le Rishut Onami. Even before it gets to his possession, he's not allowed to split it if it was deoraita. Why? Ki shakil chilufei avodah zarah hu shakil. What is he taking? He's taking the swap out for the avodah zarah. Meaning he's saying, you take Avodah Zarah, I'll take the other parts that aren't Avodah Zarah. So he wouldn't be allowed to do that if it was Deoraita. Ela, it must be midrabanan, it's only rabbinic. Gezerahu da'avud rabbanan, shemi achzor l'soro. It's a rabbinic enactment that the Chachamim enacted, lest he come back to his bad self. Meaning they established this so that he doesn't come back to do what he used to do before. Meaning he converted, we don't want him to go back. So therefore we make such a rabbinic enactment. But according to the Torah, it's not there. Okay, Rashi says, "Shemei asur le'soro mishum mamono," because of his money, right? So the Gemara says, Tanin Amiachi, we have a brayta just like this. Madri Mamarim, what are we talking about? Kishe Yarshu, if they inherited. Aval Kishe Nishtatfu Asur, if they became partners in it together, that would be Asur. Oved Kochamim Itager, Veger Itager, and no Elam Lomidvei Torah, Velomidvei Sofrim. A non-Jew to inherit a ger, or a ger to inherit a ger, not even rabbinical. There's no rabbinic enactment of inheritance. The Tanya is the bright that says, Lava ma'ot min ager. Someone borrows money from a convert. Shinitgaru banav imo, whose sons converted with him. So if somebody converts with his children, they're goyim, they both convert, what's their status now? They're not related anymore. They're like new baby-born children. So they have no relation to one another. So the Gemara says, Lo yachzir levanav, don't return the money to his sons afterwards. They have no connection to him. V'mechazir, and if you do, en roch hachamim nochayim enu. The chachamim are not happy with that. So the Gemara says, V'hatanyahu, hold on, we have a braita. The braita says, roch hachamim nochayim enu. The chachamim are happy with that. The Gemara says, lakasha, it's not difficult. Kan shohorato v'leidado shelo b'kdusha. V'kan shohorato shelo b'kdusha v'leidado b'kdusha. The question is, okay, the first case, what we were talking about is if she became pregnant and gave birth, not as a Jew. And then afterwards they converted. So therefore they have no connection to the child, and that's what we said, it's not good to give it back, give the money to this child, there's no connection to the father. In this case, when she got pregnant, she wasn't Jewish, but she converted while before she had given birth to the baby. So therefore, in that case, the Chachamim say, you should give it, you're allowed to give it back, and we're happy you give it back to the child, because he does have a connection to the parent, because she became Jewish before giving birth. Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar b'Yochanan, Oved kochavim yoreshet aviv dvar Torah. A goy inherits his father according to the Torah. He says, Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yerushal Esav natati et har Seir. It's an inheritance to Esav. I gave him har Seir. Hold on. He's giving Esav har Seir. Was Esav Jewish? So the Gemara says, V'dilma Israel Mumar Shani. Maybe in Israel Mumar, who's someone who violates all the mitzvot, but he's still Israel, he's still a Jew at the end of the day. That's why he gets an inheritance. When it says Ela Me'ach, it must be from the following pasuk: Ki livnei Lot natati et Ar Yerusha. To the children of Lot, I gave Ar as an inheritance. Oh, so you see, the children of Lot, they got a city of inheritance. This is how you know that a goy inherits from his father according to the Torah. Rechia bar Avin mai tamal lo amar kerava. Okay, why did he not learn from the pasuk that Rava learned it from? Vechishavim koneu. So he says Mikti vechishavim koneu v'loim yorshe koneu. Rava learned out from the fact that it says vechishavim koneu. And he says only with one's purchaser and not with the inheritors of one's purchaser. Does it say that in the pasuk? He's adding that part. Okay, v'rava ma'itama lo amar k'rav chiyah baravin. Why did Rava say from there and not from here, like Rav Chiyah? So the Gemara says, mishum kavodod Avram shane. Because over here is the kavod of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, Lot is his nephew. So children of Lot come from Avram Avinu. So therefore, he didn't want to. That's disrespectful, and that's why they didn't want to withhold that type of inheritance. So that's why he didn't learn it from here, because this is not a fair. This is an exclusion to the rule. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braita says, Yesh be'ivri she'en be'ivriya, v'yesh be'ivriya she'en be'ivri. There is something in the male slave that is not in the female, and something in the female that's not in the male. Hold on. So the Gemara says, Yesh be'ivri shehu be'yotze b'shanim yovel mitata adon. The male slave goes free with after 6 years, Yovel year, or the death of the master. Masha in can be Ivriya, which is not the case by the female. The Yesh be Ivriya, Share, Ivriya Yotza b'simanin. The female slave goes free with her adulthood signs. Ve'inanim kered v'nishne, she doesn't get sold twice, she can only get sold once. Ummafdin ota ba'al korcho, and they can redeem her against his will. We're going to see who it's talking about. Masha in ken be ivri, which is not the case by a Hebrew slave, a male slave. So the Gemara says, hold on. Amar mor, yesh be ivri, she'en be ivriya. You're saying there are things with the male slave that aren't in the female slave? Hold on. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Yetera alav amahi ivriya, shekona atman usimanin. We said in the Mishnah that the amahi ivriya has something extra on top of the male slave that she gets to go free with the adulthood signs. Meaning, that's something extra that she has that the male doesn't have, but the male and the female match everything else. So how can you say the man has things the woman doesn't have if he's saying, the Mishnah said, that the woman has one thing extra on top of everything else that the male has? So she's equivalent to the male plus one. So how can you say the male slave has more than the female things? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet, Kegon Shiyada. Let's say in a case where he took her as a slave for marriage. Right, he acquired her as a slave, and the owner takes her as a slave, as a wife to him or his son, let's say. So the Gemara says, "Yadab shita." In that case, it's obvious. Gita baya. She just needs a get. She needs a document of divorce. She needs a freedom document to be able to sever that marriage if she wants to go free. So what's the question? When it says ma'udatayim, I would have thought, lo libatilah hilchata mina. I would have thought that, let's say, we shouldn't remove her from the regular general rule of all of the things that we said she goes free for. All of those things that we just mentioned, that a female slave would go free, we would have thought she would still go free for those things. The Gemara says, kamashmalan, that no, if he takes her as a wife, then she needs a get to be able to go free. So the Gemara says, yachi, amayo tzabes himanin. So why do you say she goes free with adulthood signs? If she's married, how is she going free with adulthood signs? So the Gemara says, hachi kamar, im lo yada yotza af misimanin. If she doesn't get married through as a slave, then she goes free with adulthood signs, which the male doesn't have. That's what it meant. Then we said, she doesn't get sold again, twice. So the Gemara says, hold on, that sounds like the male slave does get sold twice. Is that so? The Pasuk says, he gets sold by stealing if he doesn't have what to pay. But not double. The Gemara says, with stealing, but not with becoming a conspiring witness. So let's say he says, oh, this person did this, this, and that in this place, and I saw them, and we are testifying that they did this. And then two witnesses come and say, no, you're lying. You were with us that day. You didn't see that. So they're conspiring witnesses. But we don't sell him as a result of that. Conspiring witnesses. The Gemara says, "Bignevato with stealing, kivan shenimkar pa'amachat, shuv iyata rasha demokro. Even a male slave, once you sell him once, you don't sell him again. So what's the case here? So the Gemara says, "Amar ava lakasha." It's not difficult. Kan bignevva achat, kan bishnei gnevot. No, when we said you don't get sold twice, that's when it's one thief. One time he stole. But if he stole twice, he stole once, and then he stole again, we could sell him twice. Why not? When I said, Amar le Abaye, b'gnevato tuba mashma. When it says gnevato, his stealing, that's one of his stealings, that sounds like plurals. There are many times that he steals. So how can you imply from here that gnevato wasn't talking about many stealings? It was. Still, we said you only get sold twice, even though it's talking about plural times. So therefore, how do you explain? If we're talking about one person who stole, then he only gets sold once. But if we're talking about two people that stole, right? Rashi says, two people, shnei bnei adam, you bring him to the Beit Din twice. He stole, they stole twice. We brought him once. You sold him, and then again, and you sold him again. Or Rashi gives a different explanation. Or let's say he stole, he came to court, he came to the Beit Din, they sold him because he didn't have what to pay. And then afterwards, he went out and he stole again. And then again, we do the same thing. In that case, it's not two times in one shot. It's one time after another. So there, you're allowed to sell him and then sell him again. What we were talking about that you won't is when it happens in one shot, when it's two stealings in one shot. That's when you wouldn't sell him twice. The Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, ginevo elef v'shave chamesh meot." If let's say he stole something worth 1,000, but he, the slave, is only worth 500, so nimkar v'chozenim v'nimkar, he gets sold, he finishes, and then he gets sold again. He has to do 500 twice. The Gemara says, "Ginevo chamesh meot v'shave elef eino nimkar klal." If he steals 500 and he's worth 1,000, he doesn't get sold at all because that's half of what he's worth. That doesn't count. Rabbi Elazar Omer, "Im haya ginevo keneged v'nimkaron nimkar." If what he stole is worth his value, he gets sold. And if not, he doesn't get sold. Whether it's higher or lower, he doesn't get sold. It has to be the exact value. Amar Ava, Behaz Zachanu Rabbi Ezer Rabbanan. This is why Rabbi Ezer is greater than the Rabbanan. It's better than Rabbanan. Why? Dimayishna genevo 500 v'shave elef de'en nimkar. Why did the Rabbanan say that if he stole 500 and he's worth 1,000, that he gets sold twice? Why? It says, Dinimkar kulo amar achmana velo chetzio. Because it says completely sold, but not chetzio, not half sold. So therefore, if he stole 500, and if he stole 1,000, and he's worth 500, he gets sold. That's only paying off half of it. He has to get sold again. The Gemara says, "Hold on, hachinami." Why, when we said he stole 500? And he's worth 1,000. We said that he doesn't go and get sold. Because it says nimkar, meaning only if his full person, if he's fully getting sold, only then does he go and get sold. But over here, what's the case? He's worth 1,000. He has to pay off 500. He wouldn't get sold entirely. He would only get sold halfway. So therefore, we wouldn't get him sold. Even Rabbanan agreed to that. So the Gemara, Rabbi Ezra says, hold so too over here, Hachiname over here in this case, Nimkar b'gnevato, it says he gets sold in his stealing, Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, v'lo nimkar b'chatzi gnevato, and not with half of his stealing. Meaning even in the case where he stole 1,000, and he's worth 500, he wouldn't be sold because he's only paying off half. He wouldn't get sold again to pay off the other half. That's not how it works. It's only if he's worth, let's say, 1,000, and he stole 1,000, only then he would get sold. That's what Rabbi Eliezer is trying to prove to him. Umafdin ota ba'al korcho, and we redeemed Amma Ivriya against his will. So Savar Aval Meimar, he thought to say, ba'al korche de adon, against the will of the master. Amar le Abaye, my nihu, what is it referring to? The katavna le shtara adame. That the father, let's say, writes a document of his worth, of the slave's worth, to the master, and the slave gets to go free just with this document. So the Gemara says, Amai, why is he get to go free with that? Nakid marganita biyade, yayiv nale chaspa. He's holding a gem in his hand. He's holding something valuable in his hand. He's holding the slave in his hand. He gets a piece of document, and the slave just gets to go free? That's not fair. That's not worth it. Ela amar abayim ba'al korchei da'av. It meant to say, against the will of the father. We force the father to go and redeem her and bring her out. Mishum pegam mishpacha. Because of the pegam mishpacha. What does that mean? Rashi says, ba'al korchei da'av, im yesh lo, kofin oto opode ota. If he has, we go and we force him in order to sell. So the Gemara says, hold on. Yahachi, if that's the case, eved ivri nami nechpinu b'nei mishpacha mishum pegam mishpacha. Why don't you say the same thing, that a male slave, we should force them to go, the family, to go and redeem him, to buy him out, because of the family. He's going to be so distant from his family. He's going to be in slavery for so long. He's going to be so away from his family. So why don't we say that? Hadar azil mezaven nafshe. Because that male slave is going to go and sell himself again, and again, and again, and again. He's going to continue selling himself, because he knows my family can just redeem me out. So that's not fair. So the Gemara says, hachaname, so too for a woman. Hadar azil mezabenna. The father can go and resell her. Why aren't we worried about that? So the Gemara says, "Haketane einanim kered v'nishnet." That's why we said the woman cannot be sold twice; she can only be sold once. The Gemara says, "Umani, who is it following? Rabbi Shimoni. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon." The Tanya, the Braita says, "Mocher adam et bito leishut v'shoneh." You can sell one's daughter for marriage, and then repeat that process again and sell her again for marriage. Leshifchut v'shoneh, for slavery, for maidservant, and again you can do it a second time. Leishut achar shifchut, you can sell her for slavery and then marriage. But not for marriage and then slavery. Rabbi Shimon says, "Keshem she'ein adam mocheret bito leshifchut achar ishut." Just like you cannot sell your daughter for marriage and then slavery. So too, kach ein adam mocheret bito leshifchut achar shifchut. So too, you cannot sell your daughter for slavery twice. You cannot sell her for slavery and then slavery. This is Rabbi Shimon. He's the author here. Upluta denai tanai, and it's the same machloket tanaim we're about to share. The Tanya, the Braita says, it says in the pasuk, if let's say the girl is bad in the eyes of the master, and he doesn't marry her, so the pasuk says bevigdoba. So the Gemara says kivan sheperas talito aleha shuv en rashay lemochra divrei Rabbi Akiva. Once he places his talit over her, he takes her for marriage. Therefore, the father is no longer allowed to sell her. Right? How do we know this? What's the talit? Meaning, let's say he's marrying her for chuppah, for example. And it says, bigdo ba, you gave her to a foreign nation. Bigdo, he uses the word, the source of the word is beged, his clothing. He places his clothing over and he marries her. Once he does that, the father has no more jurisdiction. Rabbi Eliezer says, bigdo ba, kivan she bagad ba, shiv en rashay lemochra. No, he doesn't say it's beged clothing, bagad. He says it's rebelling against her. Once the father rebelled against her and sold her, he is no longer allowed to sell her again. So, what's the machloket here? Rabbi Eliezer savar yesh em lamasoret. Rabbi Akiva savar yesh em lamikra. The machloket is if we read it as the way it is spelled, or do we read it as the way it's pronounced? Right? If we read it the way it's spelled, we go like Rabbi Eliezer, that he says it doesn't have a yud in the pasuk. So it's bet gimel dalet bagad. Bagad is rebelled. So he rebelled against her. He can no longer sell her. Rabbi Akiva says no. The way it is, pronounced. How is it pronounced? Bigdo. Bigdo is what? Beged. Clothing. Because once he marries her, he can no longer sell her. And Rabbi Shimon savar yesh em lamikra v'lamasoret. Rabbi Shimon says both of them. And so therefore he takes both of them into account for halacha. Okay. Bayi Rabba Baravua. He has a question. Yiud nisuin osa erisin osa. does marrying the slave, does that do a full-fledged marriage, or is it only in erusin, which is engagement? The question is, does the man inherit her? Does the man, if he's a kohen, can he become tameh to her? Only if he's married to her, not engaged. And the farin nidareya, can he annul her vows? Only if he's married to her can he do those three, not if he's engaged. So my, what's the din? Tashma, the Braita says, Bevigdoba, kivan sheperasta lito alea, shuv enor ashenem ochra. Once he places his clothing over her, he marries her, he's no longer, the father is no longer allowed to sell her. Zavune yudilum ezabenla, ha yehud me'ed la. He's not allowed to sell her, but the father is allowed to give her off her marriage to someone else in slavery. Hold on. If you say it's doing marriage, full-fledged marriage, if she's married, the father has no jurisdiction over her. What does it sound like? It must be. It's not doing full-fledged marriage. It's only doing engagement. It must be that it's doing engagement. The Gemara says, no. We're talking about just the regular kiddushin over here. We're not talking about yi'ud, which is marriage from slavery. This is what I meant to say. Kivan shemasera avia lemishin chayev sheirak suta ve'onata shuv ein yachol amochra. Once the father gives her off to someone who is obligated in her food, in her clothing, and having relations with her periodically, therefore, once he gives her off to someone like that, he is no longer allowed to sell her. And that's what the pasuk goes. That's what it was talking about over here. It was not talking about the case of yi'ud. It was, and therefore, we said that he's not allowed to sell her anymore, but he's allowed to do yi'ud for her with another man. That's not what it was talking about. It was talking about a regular case of kiddushin. And therefore, you cannot derive from here that what it's talking about, that what yi'ud does, marrying her off through slavery, giving her off as a slave for marriage, that's not considered engagement. It couldn't necessarily be full-fledged marriage also, and we can't derive that from here necessarily. Okay, we'll stop there for today. We'll do a quick one-minute recap. We started on Yud-Zayin Amud Bet with the topic of Amah HaIbriya, that she, when the master dies, she doesn't get sold to go and work for the son or the daughter. Part number two is Amud Aleph. We said that there are things by the male slave that aren't in the female, and things with the female that aren't in the male. And that was talking about in the case of Yi'ud. Case number three was, we said that Amah HaIbriya does not get sold twice. She only gets sold once, unlike the male slave. And the last part of the daf was that we talked about the woman, that she is redeemed even against her will. And who is it talking about? It's saying against the will of the father. That we force the father to go and redeem her, and we're not worried about anything afterwards, because we know that a woman does not get sold again. So therefore we're not worried that he's going to go and try to sell her again and do the same process again, because a woman does not get sold twice. Amen. Amen.